translation is not an easy task. It's difficult enough to do between two spoken languages. You can grab the nuance of things if you're familiar enough with the culture, the context, but it's another thing altogether when it comes to languages spoken long ago. The Hebrew in the Psalms, for instance, shies away from the abstractions that we're accustomed to. Its language is more concrete than what we usually say. Take, for example, Psalm 69 from the King James Version. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. It's a beautiful phrase. That word soul is tricky, though, because in the context, in the culture where it was spoken, soul wasn't a concept. There was no soul apart from the body. That's a modern concept of ours. The word nephesh, that's translated soul, refers to the area between your head and your shoulders, literally the throat. So let's try that translation again. Whereas we usually read it, save me, O God, for the waters have come up unto my soul. The psalmist is really saying, save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. It's a concrete image. There's something very definite about the difficult circumstances the psalmist finds herself in. Something very immediate about the dire straits. The waters have come up to my neck. Now, much like the psalmist, Isaiah today speaks of concrete promises for a hurting people. Strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees, for I will make a highway in the wilderness, and it shall be called the Holy Way. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. That's my favorite part. Not even fools. Don't need my GPS for that one. The prophet Isaiah is concerned with the renewal of the created order, not just the sweet by and by. He speaks of a God that makes a way out of no way, a path through the darkest valley, a way through the seemingly unceasing turmoil that the Israelites faced in that time. Now, the fact that Isaiah speaks in this way, of course, is precisely the thing that makes it so hard to take him seriously. We each know the world we live in. We know that life isn't easy or simple. And sometimes Isaiah's promises sound a bit empty. They sound like blind optimism. Disease still harms us. Blindness still plagues us. Death still haunts us. We live with wounds, physical and spiritual, that make us feeble at the knees, weary from life's ups and downs. And some of us have developed hard calluses to put up with that stuff in order to protect ourselves from much pain. And it helps for at least a little while. But even then, in the long run, we can't escape the harsh realities of our world. So, today I wonder, how do we hold on to the promises that God made long ago of a world renewed, made whole, while we wait in expectation in the middle of a broken world? A few years ago, I sat in a conference room listening to a minister talk about his homeless ministry in Seattle. He had been at it for quite some time, and he had a lot of stories to share. Years of good and challenging work, helping people who needed it. At the end of his talk, someone got up and just simply asked him what kept him going day after day, despite the challenges and letdowns, despite the fact that some people just couldn't manage to get better. And he said something that struck a nerve. It's hard to give up when you've seen as many resurrections as I've seen. Isaiah's way isn't blind optimism. It's actually much worse than that. It is hope against hope. Even when we seem to have lost our way, even when the water is up to our necks. Again and again, each Advent, we encounter these promises made to a people in challenging times. And again in Scripture, we see God respond in unusual ways, calling Abraham and Sarah into a nomadic life and granting them a child in old age, taking a young shepherd boy named David and making him king, and even arriving in a little town of Bethlehem in the form of newborn babe named Emmanuel, God with us, the root of Jesse and key of David, the wisdom from on high, and the Lord above all. Be patient, says the letter of James, as you wait for the coming of the Lord. It's a terrifying thing, being patient. Yet it's a beautiful and holy thing to step into it in the darker winter days as we listen anew to what new path God may be carving in our lives, the holy way which leads to life even in the midst of darkness. Amen.